You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Welcome, citizens, to this day in history with Benjamin J. Goldson.
Yes, it is Benjamin J. Goldson again for this day in history, taking us back to 1961 and the first successful launch of a person into outer space, a Russian cosmonaut named Yuri Gagarin. This was yet another significant milestone for the Soviet Union over the United States in the space race, which had begun in the aftermath of World War II, which saw the defeat of the country which had been at the forefront of rocket technology, Nazi Germany.
This camera, part of a flying laboratory, is recovered by Clyde Holliday of Johns Hopkins, who prepared it for its trip to the upper stratosphere. Rivaling the fantastic imagination of Jules Verne, the camera brought back a record of a flight into the heavens of a captured German V-2 rocket. At White Sands, New Mexico, the huge missile takes off. Air Force pictures show the rocket in flight, and the flying camera automatically takes over. The huge projectile drops the Earth behind at the tremendous speed of 4,000 feet per second. The rotation of the rocket causes the planet to spin before the lens, and the camera photographs the Earth 65 miles straight down. The horizon, 720 miles away, and the curvature of the Earth are astonishingly apparent in this still picture from the film. An observer in the rocket could have seen San Diego, Salt Lake City, Kansas City, and San Antonio. Approximately 1,600,000 square miles of the Earth's surface was revealed. The rocket reached the 65-mile height in 3 minutes. This giant engine of destruction, designed by Hitler to annihilate allied nations, now serves the worthy cause of peacetime research.
By 1957, the Soviets had successfully launched an artificial satellite, Sputnik 1, into orbit.
Today, a new moon is in the sky, a 23-inch metal sphere placed in orbit by a Russian rocket. Here, an artist's conception of how the feat was accomplished. A three-stage rocket. Number one, the booster in the class of an intercontinental missile. Its weight estimated at 50 tons. The smaller second stage took over at 5,000 miles an hour and carried on to the highest point reached. 500 miles up, the artificial moon is boosted to a speed counterbalancing the pull of gravity and released. You are hearing the actual signals transmitted by the Earth-circling satellite, one of the great scientific feats of the age.
Sputnik 1 would be followed by Sputnik 2, this time carrying live cargo, a dog named Laika.
Wow, do you think the dog was scared, Ben?
Well, it died, so...
Oh, God. I didn't know that. That's a bit grim.
What do you think they did with it?
Well, anyway, here it is.
1957, year of space and Sputnik dogs. Laika, first space traveler, was ready for the takeoff. And here it is. At 600 miles, the half-ton satellite joined the meteors in outer space to orbit around the Earth at 18,000 miles an hour with its passenger. A shocked America attempted to launch a grapefruit-sized satellite on the Vanguard rocket with disastrous results. In the shadow of the Eiffel Tower and Sputnik, President Eisenhower, French Prime Minister Gaillard, and other NATO leaders gathered in Paris to consider the peril. Their decision? That three European nations would be armed with intermediate-range missiles. The magic of President Eisenhower was a rallying force to an undecided conference. And to give added impetus to its purpose, word was received of the successful launching of the Atlas intercontinental missile, an answer in part at least to Russia's space supremacy. In the rocket's fiery wake was America's sober realization that the battle had just been joined and that the work of self-preservation was at hand in 1958, the dawn of the space age.
1958 did see some success for the United States, but for more of that, you'll have to wait for after this ad break.
Marlon Williams is bringing all the bliss and ache of his new album Make Way for Love to the Auckland Town Hall in May. Dreamy. And you could be there. What's chasing you? If you want to win tickets, all you need to do is stay tuned to BFM 95. BFM presents Marlon Williams at the Auckland Town Hall. With one show already sold out, don't shilly-shally. Get your tickets for Saturday, May 26th now. Tickets from Ticketmaster.
So, I'm doing the Cocktail Corner ad?
Yeah. Just read what's on the screen.
It just says Cocktail Corner.
Yeah. Just read it. Real slow.
Okay. Cocktail Corner?
That's great. Again, slower.
Cocktail Corner?
Yes.
Wait a minute. Shouldn't I be saying, like, Cocktail Corner, 5:30 every Thursday on 95 BFM Drive, brought to you by Citadel Gin and East Imperial Superior Beverages?
No. Just read it one more time.
Is that Sade? And have you dimmed the lights?
Cocktail Corner, every Thursday on Drive.
We now return to this day in history. When we left off, America was lagging behind in the space race to the Soviet Union, but by 1958, they did pull ahead somewhat.
At Cape Canaveral, another probe into space. Target, the moon. A 52-ton multi-stage rocket combining elements of the Thor ICBM and the Vanguard is readied for firing. Its payload, a toy, top-shaped instrument package with its own tiny rockets. This countdown has scant margin for delay. The missile must follow a carefully computed course if there is to be any possibility of intersecting the moon's orbital passage. And there is only one 15-minute go period for launching the rocket into that course. On the planned course, the 83-pound Pioneer space probe would closely approach the moon and be swung into orbit by the moon's own gravity. From its position a quarter of a million miles out in space, the moon probe would have broadcast back not only scientific data of enormous value, but the first pictures ever seen by human eyes of the far side of the moon. A daring and dramatic goal that was not destined to be realized on this day.
1-0.
Roars aloft at too steep an angle. Its velocity is cut by 800 feet a second, working more directly against gravity than planned. Reaching over 23,000 miles an hour, it carries to nearly 80,000 miles, 30 times as far as ever before. Another moonshot is scheduled next month. The Pioneer remains man's most resoundingly successful probe into space.
The achievements of the Pioneer Project would be overshadowed on this day in history, April the 12th, 1961, however, which saw Soviet cosmonaut Yuri Gagarin complete an orbit of the Earth and returned home to much adulation.
Ooh.
Well, don't ruin it.
Downpour notwithstanding, Manchester left Yuri Gagarin in no doubt that the great city had never had a more welcome visitor. The spaceman is a natural, if ever there was one. No wonder millions fell for him. The Amalgamated Union of Foundry Workers made him number one honorary member and gave him a gold medal. Union President Fred Hollingsworth said all the members felt that Yuri was honoring them by his acceptance. In a way, he was one of them, because in his younger days, Gagarin worked as a molder. Back in London, the Mansion House, where another hero's welcome awaited this amazing man. And it was raining there too. Yuri must have thought that all the jokes about a typical English summer were well-founded. With the Lord Mayor, Sir Bernard Whaley Cohen, he waved to the thousands of city workers. Then to the Tower, steeped in history going back to 1078. There was such a crush of children and holidaymakers that the man of space hardly had space to move. But there, as everywhere else, he seemed to be enjoying it all to the full. And what a contrast, the Tudor dress of the Beefeaters and the man who 3 months ago went into orbit round the Earth. The next call was at Admiralty House to see the Prime Minister. Mr. Macmillan said, "He's a delightful fellow," which just about sums up what everybody thought. Yuri had presented the Premier with an autographed book describing his flight in space. At Buckingham Palace next day, the astronaut lunched with the Queen. Her Majesty, her ministers, and all her subjects have been captivated by the charm of Major Yuri Gagarin. Never has Moscow sent a finer ambassador.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.